The primary races are decided, and we're on to the general election campaign here in Vermont. Christine Hallquist won the Democratic nomination for governor yesterday, and incumbent Governor Phil Scott won the Republican nomination. And we'll soon get a better sense of what kind of financial resources the campaigns have heading into the general election, with the campaign finance filing deadline at midnight tonight. To talk more about all of this, I'm joined by VPR State House reporter Pete Hirschfeld. Hey, Pete.
Hi, Henry.
So we're coming off this primary where policy contrasts were not very stark among the candidates, but that changes in the general. Where are the biggest differences between Hallquist and Governor Scott?
Well, there are some very obvious, very clear-cut differences between these candidates, but let's focus on two that are especially relevant in the current political and legislative climate and show why elections really matter. One is the $15 minimum wage. Governor Phil Scott says this is a mandate that small businesses in Vermont cannot accommodate without slashing jobs, reducing employees' hours, or even going out of business altogether. Christine Hallquist, meanwhile, has made her support for the $15 minimum wage one of the centerpieces of her campaign, and she says it's one of the most clear and direct ways the government can improve the finances of low-wage workers in the state. Another issue is paid family leave. Phil Scott opposes the program. The concept relies on a payroll tax on workers and or businesses to fund it. Scott says workers just can't afford that. Hallquist, though, supports paid family leave and says it's the kind of program that's going to make Vermont a more attractive place for workers. And these are two areas of particular consequence. Democratic lawmakers in the House and Senate passed bills earlier this year that would have raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour and also created a mandatory paid family leave program. Scott vetoed both of those bills, and to some extent, the future of those policies in Vermont in many ways hinges on the outcome of this race between Phil Scott and Christine Hallquist.
Yeah. Well, Scott easily won his primary yesterday, but his challenger, Keith Stern, did take about a third of the vote, 33%. So what does that say about Scott's support from his own party as we head into the general election?
I think it obviously reveals some ambivalence towards Scott among conservative Republicans that you might otherwise expect to be a part of his committed base of supporters. But I don't think it necessarily signals a crisis for Phil Scott. Context is useful here. And if you look back to the 2016 primary election, where Phil Scott also had a primary opponent, Scott's opponent, name was Bruce Lissman, won 40% of that vote, way more than Keith Stern got. And yet, Phil Scott went on to win the general election by nearly double digits, and that was against a well-funded Democratic opponent and without the power of incumbency at his back. Remember, that was an open seat for governor. So does Phil Scott have a complicated relationship with conservatives in Vermont? Absolutely he does. Many of them are upset about his support for gun control legislation during this past legislative session. Many of them are also put off by his harsh criticism of President Donald Trump. Remember, 33% of Vermonters did vote for Trump in 2016. Right. But if you're a conservative and you have a choice between a Republican you're not crazy about and a Democrat who supports government policies that are just antithetical to your political ideology, I think most of them are probably going to go with the devil they know.
Mm-hmm. And we should say it's been decades, right, since an incumbent governor lost re-election in Vermont.
More than 50 years, though the political climate is evolving at such a rapid pace these days that historical context isn't necessarily as useful as it once was.
Mm-hmm. Well, meanwhile, there is a deadline at midnight tonight for campaigns to file financial disclosures with the state. Do we know anything so far in terms of how much money campaigns are holding onto at this point?
Unfortunately, very little, Henry, at this point. Campaigns have until midnight to disclose their fundraising totals for the period, and most statewide candidates appear to be waiting until the last moment. But I was able to track down totals in a contest that I think could be very interesting this year, and that's the race for the lieutenant governor's position between Republican Dawn Turner, who's the House Majority Leader right now, and progressive Democrat David Zuckerman, who is, of course, the incumbent. Zuckerman has raised about $25,000 during this past reporting period. Turner has not turned in his report yet, but I was able to confirm with the campaign staffer that he's taken in right around $100,000 during this last period. And money isn't everything in politics, of course, but it is a useful benchmark for what kind of support a candidate has at their back. And the fact that Dawn Turner is outraising David Zuckerman by such a significant amount right now, I think really signals that he has some real support from establishment Republicans in the state and, you know, some decent momentum at his back as he goes into this race against David Zuckerman.
Well, we will see where things end up in November. VPR's Pete Hirschfeld, thanks so much for following this for us.
Yeah, thank you, Henry.